the spillover events from a natural reservoir likely occurring in the tropical forests of Africa in several species, probably a bat, of which primates, humans, chimpanzees, gorillas are all susceptible. We believe that the spillover event from a wildlife carrier into a primate is a rare event, but it does occur.
How is it possible that gorillas and chimpanzees get infected since they don't eat meat?
Possibly because the elimination of the virus can occur through feces, which contaminates the forest floor or parts of trees or leaves, or even urine in an infected animal that is a reservoir or has eliminated the virus and has contaminated the environment. That's why it's so important when we talk about human health or animal health, also to talk about environmental health.
Is it true that there's an estimated one-third of the world's gorillas and chimpanzees that have been killed by the disease?
I would have to look at the source of that information. It seems a bit high to me, but I would need to look at those statistics. I would venture to say that illegal hunting is probably more responsible than the Ebola virus. But again, I would need to see what the origin of that statistic comes from.
So when the Ebola epidemic outbreak happened, mm-hmm. were you concerned that it might jump to animals like what has happened with the apes and chimpanzees?
Well, most certainly we have to remember that humans, we are also terrestrial animals. And so if we are encountering a reservoir of a disease that can infect a chimpanzee or a gorilla or another ape, we, after all, are other apes. So there's really very little difference between ourselves, the communities, or the distance that we may have from that reservoir in nature. Also, we do produce animals for eating. We do go out and hunt. We bring back what we've hunted back to our communities. And if what we've hunted was sick, we have a good probability that we will introduce sickness into our community. So it's important that what we hunt or what we eat, what we raise, is healthy before we use it for food preparation.
So in terms of these animals that have contracted the Ebola virus, are they treated just as humans are?
The veterinary health care systems in the rural areas or in the bush are far inferior to what we may see even in rural areas for the treatment of humans, as precarious as that may be in poor countries. Usually, and understanding more about animal behavior, when an animal is sick, usually they wander and die by themselves. They do not come into the community. They go out and die. So there's some behavioral differences that we as humans perhaps do not have.
What can be done to stop the spread of the virus amongst animals?
We may not have been able to stop the spillover event from, let's say, a wildlife carrier to a human, or from a wildlife carrier to livestock, domestic animals, but we certainly could have the systems in place, the investments in place, where whole of society can respond with much, much greater speed in a multi-sectoral manner. The ministries of health, the local community health officials, the veterinary services, the private sector, the military, finance institutions, it could have been done a lot better. So my question would be, are we ready for this next time in other parts of sub-Saharan Africa? Probably not. We are not ready. We do not have the systems in place for that early detection and early response. And we know that this disease has an animal source. Are the veterinary services or the veterinary systems strong enough to be able to detect it when it occurs and to be able to respond fast? And I would say we are not ready.